to the Crooked Forest podcast. I'm your host, Holly Noonan, and we will be discussing affordable housing for sensitive people and all aspects of paradigm-changing trends in natural building and how it relates to your health, like living in neighborhoods that are designed specifically for the microbiome. We'll also explore creative solutions for affordable home ownership, like community land trusts and cooperatives, and delve into permaculture and regenerative systems design. If that's what you're interested in, you're in the right place, and we're glad you're here. Hi there, everybody. This is Holly Noonan. I just wanted to do an end of year update. Our intention this year was to introduce ourselves to the community, do a little fundraising, establish all of our communication infrastructure, and really develop the vision of what it is that we are aiming to achieve. I'm currently on the Role Model Road Trip, which is an epic cross-country, mostly in the Southwest, journey to visit our role model organizations, which I will talk about in a little bit. But one of the things that interrupted the full expression of this vision for 2023 was this was the year of my mother's decline. And beginning in January of 2023, she started needing a lot more help, and she lived in Florida. My mom died 3 weeks ago today, and I'm thinking a lot about her because she left me this 2018 Road Trek RV in which I'm doing the Role Model Road Trip. And I am currently on day 5 of driving from Florida, where she lived, back home to New Mexico, where I live. This is the conclusion of my 6th trip to Florida in 2023, and I was intending, when I left 3 weeks ago today, to see her again, but she actually died the day that I left. She died while I was in the airplane, so I wasn't able to call her and say goodbye. But I feel my mom with me here. She set up this RV for taking road trips that she never actually was able to take. She used this vehicle as her only vehicle, partly because she had a ramp and a lift on the back of this, you know, Dodge Ram 2500 chassis, where she put her scooter, and that was her way of getting around town and doing her errands. It was very clever. She's very innovative, thinking outside the box sort of a woman. But she never used it for what I'm using it for now, which is sleeping in it, living in it. And it's really cool. I'm really enjoying it. So I'm really grateful to my mom. I say thank you, Mom, like many times every day. And feel her sort of with me as my RV guardian angel right now. So thanks, Mom. Yeah, so she went into hospice late May, and my life got more or less taken over by this decline. Becoming old and disabled in America is no small feat. It's something that you need to plan for, which she did. And yeah, she needed a lot of help in the last few months, and I, you know, I have persistent environmental sensitivities myself, which is the origin of why Crooked Forest Institute is focusing so much on housing that's safe for people who are environmentally sensitive, like myself. Case in point, my mom lives in a wooden house. She lived in a wooden house in a tropical area. And this house surely is constructed of OSB and plywood, and requires 24/7 air conditioning all year round, which costs about $316 a month for her 3-bedroom home. We are now responsible for this house in a tropical area, And it's a nail biter because if the air conditioning unit ceases to function optimally for even 48 hours, there could be a serious problem in the home. And this is a case in point of how we have developed extremely unsustainable, normal living situations like this, like my mother's neighborhood. All the houses are like this. When I'm in her neighborhood, I am outside walking all the time, but nobody else is outside. There's long sidewalks, and the sidewalk concrete is fully moldy. And nobody's using them to bike or walk. Almost nobody. Every once in a while, you'll see someone on a bike. And this is how we live now as modern Americans. We live in our respective boxes, and we pay attention to screens, and we don't go outside, and we require, at the very minimum, $316 worth of air conditioning electricity to maintain our homes so they don't go moldy, because we've built with inappropriate materials for the climate and the region. Clearly, this is not sustainable for human civilization as we go forward. So at Cricket Forest Institute, think of us as a housing ecosystem lab. We are focusing on the problems of climate change, sustainability, environmental and social justice, and how to create sustainable, small, earthen buildings that are healthy for anyone. And one of the role models we have is the Kelsey in San Francisco, which is an organization developed for normalizing disability inclusionary housing standards. And one of the points they make, which is a very good point, is that when you create housing that is designed to include all types of disabilities, this housing makes everybody healthier. And at some point, even healthy people need help. And so I don't remember who gave me the phrase that everybody is temporarily abled. So why not build houses that are already set up for all phases of your life and can include an ability to host anybody? So our focus is primarily the community of people who are environmentally and chemically sensitive, but we will be including all types of other disability forward design in our housing, and also focusing on how to make this housing affordable, which is a tall order. There are not too many precedents for how to have sustainable building also be affordable building, but there are some precedents, one of which is Breathe Architecture in Melbourne, Australia. Our designs are not going to be in alignment with what is more or less the standard in conventional building, which is luxury. We're not even aiming for that. We are aware that these housing units are for survival, and therefore our footprint is going to be small because you don't need a big house to survive. What you need is something that's safe and quiet and fireproof and resilient and clean. So here I am on the Role Model Road Trip. Take a look at the map. I'll put the link in the show notes. On this portion of the road trip, I'm in Texas. And on the first day, it was actually the third day of my drive from Florida, but the first day of like getting to visit the role models, I was able to visit an agri-hood in Austin, Texas, which was a really cool concept. This was a 30-acre farm that had been repurposed first as an RV park and then as a tiny house village. And they kept the farm intact. So the farmhouse and the greenhouse and the barn are still there, still functioning, and are available for the community. What was really cool about this one was there's an active farm, and a lot of the residents are, they're in phase three of development. And when phase four is completed, there will be 150 tiny homes in this development. These households are able to work on the farm, volunteer on the farm, and also buy their produce every week from their own farm, their community-supported agriculture farm. So this is just such a super cool model in creating community and solving problems and lowering carbon footprint. These people aren't driving to a store to get vegetables that were shipped here from California. So in some respects, this little community is just hitting it out of the park. In other respects, however, these tiny homes were built by a local manufactured housing company, and they are all 399 square feet to allow for the owners of these homes to qualify for RV mortgages or more or less car loans, personal property loans, rather than home loans. I'm not sure what the interest rate difference would be on something like that. Typically, I think that's probably a higher interest rate. But it's a smaller home, so it does become affordable housing. The challenge, however, is in their aspiration of creating small homes that feel large and feel luxurious, they're designing like very cleverly built kitchens for the space with beautiful stainless steel appliances. They even have little tiny 18-inch wide dishwashers in these kitchens. But the homes themselves are made in a production facility out of OSB. And, you know, this is not the healthiest kind of house to live in. And people who are environmentally sensitive simply often can't live in a house like this. One of the challenges is getting, you know, the condensation issue right. You want to have a high R value when you're living in a place that has, you know, high heat like Austin, Texas. It also has humidity. And one of the biggest challenges in any home is condensation. But when you're living in a tiny house that's actually a trailer, it's an insulated OSB box sitting on a metal chassis. And there is some thermal bridging that can happen with the metal in the floor. And if the, I'm not sure how they built these things. I wasn't able to actually get specs on like the thickness of the floor and what kind of insulation and how they did it. But we went on a tour and I was able to go inside five of the show models. So one of the sales models, three of which were actually for sale and two of which were in the, you know, sales little complex they have at the entrance. One of the homes that was for sale already was moldy. And, you know, I am a very serious, long-term, experienced avoider of mold. You know, four out of the five homes weren't moldy, but one of them was. And if someone has, you know, 25% of us do have the genetics that lead to impaired detoxification for these kinds of mold toxins, this house is not safe already, brand new. So this is why we're focusing on alternative housing for the sensitive population. I was taking this home tour with a mother and daughter team, and they were looking at housing for the daughter who was planning on going to school in Austin. And you want to know if a home is safe, if you're going to encourage your baby to buy it or live in it. A small home that's on a trailer with an insulated floor that has already been water damaged before it was even finished is simply not a safe home. So after this little field trip to the Agrihood with the tiny homes, I was able to continue on to my second destination, which was a little business outside of Austin called Flourish Here, run by Nora Oreste, who's a building biologist, and her husband, Chris. This is in development, and they are coming to the completion of the first hempcrete home, first of six. This whole development is going to be on water catchment, and they have completed their 50,000 gallon water catchment tank, which is also going to function as a stargazing platform. Very cool. And I got to learn a lot about hempcrete and see how it worked and feel what it feels like inside a hempcrete house, and get to see Nora's design solutions for how to maintain a house in this climate in the long term. So she has designed a mech room into the side of this house to contain the water heater, the air conditioner, dehumidifier, water and air purifiers. So these houses, these hempcrete houses, are designed for people who are chemically sensitive and environmentally sensitive. So this was pretty exciting for me because I haven't met too many other designers that are focusing on this demographic. And let me just say here, while we are designing to include this demographic, I want to underscore again that this kind of housing makes everybody healthier. Even healthy people get healthier. One of the things that is a common refrain when a person who is trying to reboot their immune system from environmental illness, if they are traveling with a healthy partner, the partner also experiences the avoidance of mold and chemicals in pursuit of the sick partner's health. Well, the healthy partner often reports an increase in their own health. They were already healthy, but they got even healthier. How about that? So that can happen when you stop living the status quo life in the dominant paradigm, because this paradigm is making everybody just a little bit sick and is normalizing this level of illness. And it's really only when you fall through the floor that you realize, oh, this is not normal. And we need to actually completely exit this paradigm in order to regain our health and foster the health of the people that we love and in our community. So I really applaud Nora for the vision of creating a prototype of how to establish a retreat center that is focused on allowing for the chemically sensitive population, because this population is really quite exploding in as a demographic because of the ambient chemicals. There's 84,000 new chemicals in our environment since World War II and my father's lifetime. So we have to think differently. We have to act differently. We have to live differently. The way that we are living now in the current American paradigm is no longer acceptable or sustainable or ethical. And that's why we're doing the work that we're doing. So 2023 was really a year of becoming clearer and refining our vision and our ability to communicate what it is that we're doing and why we're doing it. And I'm really looking forward to 2024, because in 2024, we will buy land. We will make bricks, compressed earth blocks. We will find investors. And we will start building our first houses. That's a lot for a year, but this year is going to be transformative, a great leap forward. In 2023, we were gathering our momentum and clarifying our vision. And in 2024, that vision will begin to be executed. In the first 3 months of 2024, I anticipate completing the role model road trip in my mom's RV to go and visit each of the organizations that are inspiring our work, because we're interested in following models that are successful. Each model has its pros and cons, and I want to know about both. I want to study the organizations that are inspiring us and take a page out of their book for all of the aspects of how they are doing what they're doing well. But also, I want to see what is not working. And as an example, in the tiny house village in Austin, the community supported agriculture and the level of community engagement, total win. They were really hitting it out of the park. But there were some aspects of their vision that were not something that I would want to emulate, namely building houses that are not long lived. I'm not anticipating those houses to be in very good shape in 10 years, let's put it that way. That doesn't allow people to accrue equity. You know, there are other types of value besides money, like health, community, safety, water. So they are providing that value in addition to a relatively affordable way of living. But the value of the actual structures will lead to building equity. So financial value still needs to be secured in addition to the value of community and water and food, safety, and all of those other things. So I'm on the road in West Texas, heading west, and anticipating one last stop before I make it home. This last stop is the Tierra Madre Community Land Trust, one of three community land trusts in the state of New Mexico, and one that, as far as I understand, has 38 homes on it, and some or all of the homes are natural building straw bale houses. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how they're doing it and cheering them on, because it sounds like a wonderful project. It's right near the corner of Mexico and Texas, in the southeastern corner of New Mexico. So I look forward to hearing more about that and taking you along for the ride. Well, that concludes my year-end review, I guess, for Crooked Forest Institute. Signing off, thanks so much for your support and for following along on our journey, and I look forward to sharing the developments in 2024 with you, and I hope everybody has a safe and a happy new year. All right, take care. Show for you today. Thanks so much for joining us for the Crooked Forest podcast. Be sure to hop on over to crookedforestinstitute.org to subscribe and keep in touch with what we're up to. Thanks very much, and we'll see you next time.